Welcome to First Presbyterian Church of Allentown's Sermon Podcast. As we approach God's Word, let's take a prayerful breath. Breathe in, breathe out. Listen to God's Word this day.
Please join me in our unison prayer for illumination. Let us pray. Gracious God, illuminate these words by your Spirit, that we might hear what you would have us hear and be who you would have us be. For the sake of Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. Amen. Today's scripture reading from the book of Proverbs, chapter 8, verses 8 through 36. Listen to God's Word.
And understanding, raise her voice. On the heights, beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand, beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, she cries out.
To you, O people, I call, and my cry is to all who live. O simple ones, learn prudence. Acquire knowledge, intelligence, you who lack it. Hear, for I will speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right, for my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteous. There is nothing twisted or crooked in them. They are all straight to one who understands, and right to those who find knowledge.
Take my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. I, wisdom, live with prudence, and I attain knowledge and discretion.
The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. I have good advice and sound wisdom. I have insight. I have strength. By me, kings reign and rulers decree what is just. By me, rulers rule and nobles, all who govern rightly.
I love those who love me. And those who seek me diligently find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and prosperity. My fruit is better than gold, even fine gold, and my yield than choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness and along the paths of justice, endowing with wealth those who love me and filling their treasuries.
The Lord created me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of long ago. Ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there was no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. When he had not yet made earth and fields or the world's first bits of soil.
When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep. When he made firm the skies above. When he established the fountains of the deep. When he assigned to the sea its limit so that the waters might not transgress his command. When he marked out the foundations of the earth. Then I was beside him like a master worker, and I was daily his delight, playing before him always, playing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the human race.
And now, my children, listen to me. Happy are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Happy is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors.
For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But those who miss me injure themselves, and all who hate me love death.
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We don't often spend a whole lot of time in the book of Proverbs, which is one of those Hebrew scripture books that we call wisdom literature. There are probably a couple of reasons for that. One, those short couplets of advice and counsel that make up a significant portion of the book don't really lend themselves much for sermons and preaching. One scholar has said that they should be read like a box of chocolates, savored slowly, enjoyed in small bits, picking this one, maybe skipping that one for another day. And then there are other segments of the book that have been pushed aside for centuries in the Western church, in particular because of our intensely patriarchal history. In these segments, it's the divine image, the creative spirit, and the wisdom of the word that is personified as feminine, as woman wisdom, that has led to that pushing. The dominant scholars and church leaders for much of the history of Western Christianity have just not quite known what to do with images of the divine as feminine. And so at best, they've been ignored, or maybe at worst, even suppressed. So that's part of why I just couldn't resist making sure that we read the whole chapter this morning, rather than the short excerpts that are recommended by the ecumenical lectionary. This poem is just too rich, and we don't hear it nearly often enough to skip it or to chop it up in bits and pieces. When we were discussing the passage at our staff meeting this week, some of my colleagues looked at the skipped verses for some context, and they were just too good not to share with everyone. Wisdom literature as a category reads a little different than some of our more familiar parts of the Hebrew scriptures. Along with Proverbs also is the book of Ecclesiastes and Job in this category. And these books are unique in that they don't really contend with a specific time period in Israel's history. They aren't telling us, for example, about the matriarchs and patriarchs in Genesis or the story of the Exodus in that book. They don't recount the details of the law like Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. They don't speak specifically or directly about specific kings or bloody battles or devastating empires and exiles like most of the historical books and the prophecies. Even the Psalms, the songbook of Israel, often connects to the teachings and specific history of the people of God. But wisdom literature doesn't really do that. It's not worried about a particular nation, state, or people. Instead, the sages were interested in the human person, what drives us, what motivates us, how we operate in the world as part of God's creation, how we live with each other, reflecting the divine will and purpose, how we orient ourselves to the holy, and how that orientation compels us to live and move and have our being, to borrow words from the Apostle Paul. This is accomplished largely through those two different classes of literature that I mentioned before, those short statements of advice, often depicted as advice from an older, wiser person to a younger person about how to gain successful and good life. And then also there is more reflective probing into the meaning of life, and that's the kind of literature we heard today. Woman wisdom, we hear her tell us, is an ancient voice. as ancient gets, really. She was with God at the very dawn of creation. We hear echoes even of the opening verses of the gospel according to John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Or as Sophia says it, we might call her Sophia, which is the Greek word for wisdom. As Sophia says it, the Lord created me at the beginning of the divine work, the first of God's acts so long ago. Ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. She is not new on the scene. She's not a passing fad or a fleeting temptation or desire. She's not some fly-by-night possibility or philosophy. She speaks what God has always spoken. She goes where God has always gone. She cries to those whom God has always cried. She desires from us what God has always desired, and she calls to us from where God has always been, on the heights, beside the way, at the crossroads. Woman wisdom takes her stand. Beside the gates in the front of the town, at the entrance to the portals, she cries out. But do you hear what place was not mentioned? The church. Of course, in the Old Testament, there were no churches, but even the temple isn't mentioned. The center of religious life does not come up. The place of ritual and organized worship doesn't appear in this list of places from which wisdom is crying. And I don't think that that's because woman wisdom dislikes the temple. But instead, I think that's because she's telling us she is not confined to the temple. Her history, her work, and even her call predates the existence of the stone temple in Jerusalem, or even the wood, linen, and hide tabernacle in which the Hebrew people and Israelites worshipped before a permanent structure existed. The work and word of Sophia moves more freely than any building represents. And instead, she calls from the hills so everyone in the valley can hear. She stands at the intersections of the busiest streets. She goes to the city gates, which was the place where justice cases were decided and judgments are handed down. It's also the place where those who were left out of justice, those who were poor and lacking resources, those who are excluded from the places of power and privilege, would wait for someone to notice them, to have mercy on them. From these places, and with all people, not just the super religious and the ever faithful, with all people, she shares her wisdom. So what is this precious wisdom? What are these eternal and ancient truths? There are any number of ways to answer that question, but I think at least one comes to us in the centerpiece of this poetic rendering. It's a tricky English phrase that talks about the fear of the Lord. Our words and the baggage we bring with them do us a disservice here. I don't want us to be thinking about cowering in fear, or an anxiety about divine punishment, or worry about the anger of God. Instead, fear might better be understood as respect. or faithfulness to God, or devotion, unwavering commitment, being committed to the Lord, honoring all that God is, all that God does, all that God desires of us, which in this chapter we are told is to hate evil. Do not hear me saying that we are supposed to be hating any people. Jesus has something to say about that for sure. But to hate evil, the very forces that counter all that God desires. Health and wellness and wholeness, restoration of creation and community. Rather than pride and arrogance, Sophia tells us, we should live with love for God, which looks like walking in righteousness and following paths of justice. This is the call of the divine woman wisdom. To seek her diligently wherever she may be, in order that we will find knowledge. Not all the facts that could fill every book or bites of information that occupy the internet, but knowledge of God's love, knowledge of God's grace, knowledge of God's desire for justice and right governance, knowledge of God's abundant life. This seeking, the author and minister Frederick Buechner says, is curiosity. To be wise is to be eternally curious, he says. To be wise is to be unsatisfied with knowing only our own story. To be wise is to wonder about the experiences of others, the good, the bad, and the ugly. To be wise is to be open to the truth that we do not hold the right answer to every question. We are not the experts in every situation, and we can't solve every problem on our own, but we need the whole of humanity, the whole of creation, and even that which is beyond creation. We need God's divine wisdom in order to follow God faithfully in the world. This is the call of woman wisdom, to seek her diligently and to follow her steps and her way. It's not enough to gather wisdom and pack it away into our hearts and our minds, because that would be missing the point of what wisdom is for, what God's love is for, what the divine call is toward. Wisdom is not just for some, it is for all. It is not just for the faithful who go to the tabernacles and the temples and the churches. It's not just for those who understand. It is intended to be for all, for the simple and the knowledgeable, the subjects and the rulers, those lacking wealth and those who have gathered it. And so for all of us inside the building, who hear her cry, who claim to walk her path and seek her diligently, wisdom is what we must carry outside of the building, to the crossroads of Cedar Crest and Tillman and beyond, to the edges of our cities, both metaphorical and literal, the gates where people on the margins dwell, those outside the centers of privilege, those looking for a just chance at achieving stability and inclusion, as well as to the halls where rulers sit in power. Wisdom, knowledge of God's love that is put to use for God's purposes. Wisdom, knowledge of God's delight in humanity that calls us into the reconciling work God is doing in the world. Wisdom, that knowledge of God's desire for the riches of justice and wholeness to flourish throughout all of creation. This must be our cry, our message, our motivation as children of God, disciples of Jesus, the wisdom word made flesh, and bearers of the Holy Spirit, this day and always. Amen.
Thank you for listening to First Presbyterian Church of Allentown's Sermon Podcast. We hope you'll join us for worship on Sunday morning. For more information about our congregation and our ministries, please contact the church office. Now go in peace.